question. And some other announcements on the back of the bulletin. The upcoming pop-up food pantries will be Thursday the 28th at 3:30 in Brown City. And then also Saturday, October 30th at 9 a.m. in Marlette at the VFW Hall. Reading of the names of saints will take place on November 7th during the service. Please register by today. Then the pies we already mentioned. And then the East Winds District Conference will be held Saturday morning, that's November 6th, from 9 to noon. It is via Zoom. There's a website on there that you can register. You just click on the registration link. And then, what else? Darn it, I went too fast. I was supposed to kill time. Oh, there's one more. If you're via a reliable source, if you're getting spam calls, there's a number that if you call this number on your cell phone, and then there's a lot of different prompts that you can then block said spam number, and I can rattle off the number, or if you have questions, it'll be on a sheet up here, and then this will help reduce the number of spam calls. Any other announcements that I missed? Yep, we can do that. I was going to wait for the radio. We can do the birthdays. So, any birthdays this week that anyone will admit to? The boys. How old are you guys now? Whoa, double digits. Cool, it's saying happy birthday to the Bender Boys. And then for anniversaries, I have a note that John and Deb Darling have an anniversary on the 29th. And then yesterday, Craig and Marie Moshier celebrated an anniversary yesterday. So let's sing happy anniversary to them. And another exciting prayer request, start putting in your prayers for what team you want to win this coming Saturday, Michigan versus Michigan State. And we will kill some time. I don't sing or dance, or else I would if I had those talents. But oh, can I know some of the changes for the songs? So, to get yourselves prepared for service, we have some song changes coming at you. For the opening hymn, it'll actually be song 451 for "Be Thou My Vision," so you can mark that or find your hymnal page, and then. For the hymn of preparation following the Lord's Prayer, it'll be the "Open the Eyes That I May See." All right, we're on the air. Welcome to Sandusky, First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share light Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Julie Krause will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Angela Lasecki, and I will be your worship leader this morning. So please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Thank you. And our praise song this morning is number 3008, Open the Eyes of My Heart. You may stand. Please remain standing for the call to worship. The congregation response is in bold. Come gather together here in the presence of Christ, who is our friend and healer.
We have entered here and in our worship together, we yearn for hope and comfort.
Let us reach to the heart of Jesus, who is our life. Here we are, welcome and loved and cherished.
Here we are, the people of God. Let us rejoice and give God praise.
Good morning. Let us pray. Great healer, make us aware of your great spirit here in this place. Touch and heal our brokenness and lift us out of the spirit of doubt. Dry our tears of pain and sorrow. Comfort and nourish us with the many blessings of your great love, O God. May we flourish and blossom in the warmth and compassion of your healing love and grace. Please allow our eyes and hearts to see. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
And our opening hymn is 451, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you. this time, if the children would like to come forward for a children's message, I may just have something to say. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good? That's good. I have a question for you. Do you have a pretty good, easy time walking, like, just like a straight line, or when you're in line at school? Is that pretty easy? Yeah. What if we blindfolded you? Would that be easy? No, it would be kind of difficult, wouldn't it? What if we had someone who said, take a right step or a left step? That might be a little bit easier, but it'd still be kind of hard, wouldn't it? Well, there was a blind man. His name was Bartimaeus, and he wanted to talk to Jesus, and he was in a crowd of people, and he kept calling for Jesus, and you know what the crowd did? They told him to shh. But you know what? He didn't listen because he knew it was Jesus and he wanted to talk to Jesus. And so Jesus said for him to come. And the Bible says that he threw off his cloak, he sprang up, and he came to Jesus. Do you think that would be hard for a blind man to find someone in a crowd? Yeah, probably, huh? But Jesus had to be still and he came. Now, guess what Jesus did when the man came up to him? What do you think Jesus might have done? Do you think he sent him away? No. Do you think he might have given him his sight? That's exactly what he did. Yep, he had the blind man see. And he told him that he restored his sight, and he said, go, your faith has made you well. Now, do you think you can trust Jesus just like Bartimaeus did? I think we all should, shouldn't we? Now, let us have a little prayer, and I might have something for you, okay? Dear God, we thank you for the children among us. We thank you for the children listening wherever they are today. We ask that you please always lead them and have them follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we do have children's bulletins, so you'll get one of these, but don't go anywhere because there might be something else for you. And do you want one? Okay. Pass all those out. And then here's a bracelet as well. Would you like one of these? You look like you might like one. You're welcome. You're welcome. Sure, this could be easy. There you go. All right, well, thanks for coming up and have a great week.
The Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8, and then 19 through 22. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. May God add his blessing upon the reading of this word. The choir anthem this morning is, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Thank you. That was very beautiful. Let us pray. Holy God and healer, we ask for your healing, love, and peace to surround those who we have named here this morning and for those who we hold close in our minds and our hearts. We especially ask for continued healing for Pastor Sue, and we remember Harry's Body Shop throughout this week. We also lift up the troubling situations in the country of Haiti and ask for your protection of all the missionaries serving there and throughout the world. Great and loving God, we thank you for the teachings and life of Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that sometimes what we learn from you is difficult, Lord. We are not readily given to self-denial or cross-bearing, so we ask for faith and courage to follow in the ways of Jesus. Give us a bolder vision of who we can be in you. Grant us deeper compassion for others that our selfishness might not overwhelm us. Inspire us to love and give to others as a thankful response to your love and gifts for us. How grateful we are, most loving Creator, for the abundance of life that is ours. You give us a word of beauty and eyes to behold it. You give us the joy of children to love and the ability to feel the love in a tiny hand wrapped around one of our fingers. You give us a bounty of food and the luxury of tasting delicious treats to savor and enjoy. You give us flowers blooming, the sea surging, and the ability to take in the sweetness of fragrant flower aromas and the scent of salty air. You give us all this and even more, the time to enjoy the blessings you have bestowed upon us. In these moments of stillness, we ask you to forgive us for squandering the wealth that is ours. We busy ourselves with tasks instead of children. We complain about shopping for groceries and washing the dishes. We waste time watching television or playing computer games instead of noticing the glory of the world around us. Turn us around, Lord. Awaken us to the wonder in our everyday, the sounds of laughter, the smell of coffee, the taste of a crisp apple, the sight of a smile on a loved one's face. Turn us around, Lord, to the realization that this day, this moment, will not come again. Turn us around, Lord, and grant us the grace to treasure what we have been given. We ask these things in the name of the one who came that we might see what a life of abundant love looks like, Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And let us also include one of the children's prayers for the week. One of the children wished that their fish, Sunny, didn't die. And so we want to have our hearts in tune with that child and pray for them this week as well. If you will stand as you are able, our hymn will actually be number 454. This is our hymn of preparation, number 454, Open My Eyes That I May See. Gospel reading this morning comes from Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting at the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and called, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The word of God for the people of God. Wearable smart glasses are a great help for the visually impaired, but correcting spiritual blindness requires a different sort of smarts, the humility and desire to see ourselves as we really are and to see Jesus as he really is. Wearable tech is all the rage these days. Smartwatches can track your workouts, monitor your health, answer your phone, and even tell the time. Virtual reality goggles make you feel like you're inside the video game you're playing. Chances are, just about everyone you're talking to is wearing some kind of device that makes life a little more interesting, informative, or convenient. Most of the tech we wear isn't really essential to life. Somehow many of us made it to adulthood with watches that only told the time. But for some folks, that piece of technology can mean the difference between life and death. Think of those who wear a pacemaker or internal defibrillator, which monitor and regulate the heartbeat. And while those technical advances enable longevity of life, others are improving the quality of life for people with other kinds of disabilities. New wearable technology for the blind and visually impaired has the potential to make a huge difference in the quality of life for those who must navigate the world differently each day. Called assistive technology or smart glasses, these devices act as a visual or audio assistant for those with low or impaired vision. New Eyes Pro glasses, for example, are lightweight glasses that run on an Android platform and use cameras to magnify images up to 12 times, as well as provide the ability to change the color and contrast of the image the person is trying to observe. These glasses provide those with low vision the opportunity to see objects more clearly and even come with a barcode scanner and optical character recognition to recognize and read printed documents as well. Era smart glasses use a different approach for those who are completely blind. They use a built-in camera that is wirelessly connected to a trained assistant who can provide spoken feedback to the person wearing them, helping them identify objects or read documents. It's like having a constant pair of eyes guiding the blind person through the world. Both of these pieces of technology are currently new and expensive, but like most tech advances, they will likely become less expensive and more mainstream over time and be game changers for those who need them. And while smart glasses can help a person with sight, they, like most technology, can't help that much with real insight. The blind beggar Bartimaeus could have used some of these wearable tech before he encountered Jesus, but Mark reveals that the blind man could actually see more clearly than his own disciples when it counted in the real vision of discipleship. Jesus and his disciples were passing through Jericho, getting ready to make the 15-mile trek from there up to Jerusalem, where the cross awaited. Jesus had warned his disciples three times that he was going to Jerusalem to die, but each time they failed to understand what he was talking about. Earlier on the road to Jerusalem, and as we discussed last week, James and John had come to Jesus with a request to sit at his right and left when he came into his glory, which they clearly perceived to be the glory of an earthly king sitting on the throne of Israel. Jesus warned them again that his throne would not be that the kind they were hoping for, and that he had come to give his life as ransom for many. Even though these disciples had been with Jesus a long time, they still didn't see the truth about who he was and where he was leading them. But a blind man could see the truth, even without wearing 21st century tech. When Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus began to shout out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." It's significant that only here in Mark's gospel, just before going up to Jerusalem, is Jesus identified as son of David, and by a blind man, no less. Throughout the gospel, Jesus continually tries to keep a lid on the messianic secret, but it's now clear that it won't remain a secret much longer, and Bartimaeus is, ironically, the one who sees the truth. Son of David does call to mind the kind of Messiah that will be a military ruler like the original King David. But Bartimaeus also sees that this son of David is different and is one who comes with mercy and not wrath. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me," is the cry of one who sees more of who Jesus really is than those whose eyes were supposed to be functioning normally. In declaring Jesus as the merciful Messiah, however, Bartimaeus also seems to reveal that he sees more clearly the truth about himself. In contrast to James and John, who seek to sit beside Jesus in his glory as a way of enhancing the way that others see them, not as former fishermen, but powerful associates of the king, Bartimaeus sees his own situation clearly. Unlike the sons of thunder, James and John, Bartimaeus recognizes his blindness as his need for mercy. He isn't using Jesus as a way to gain glory for himself. Rather, he sees himself as a beggar in need of the grace and mercy brought by the Son of David, who is also the Son of God. In a world where people believe that physical infirmity was a sign of spiritual brokenness, Bartimaeus doesn't argue for his own righteousness or about the unfairness of it all. He simply wants mercy. Here is the original sinner's prayer: "Have mercy on me." His persistent cry annoyed the crowd, but it caught Jesus' attention. Mark makes the point of saying that Jesus stood still before telling the crowd to call Bartimaeus to him. Standing still would enable the blind Bartimaeus to find him and come to him, and Bartimaeus does just that. He threw off his cloak, the outer garment he likely used for a blanket and as a catch-all for donations he might receive at the city gate, and sprang up to come to Jesus. Notice Jesus' question to the blind man. It's the same question he asked of James and John: "What do you want me to do for you?" The disciples wanted Jesus to make them great, but Bartimaeus only wanted to see again. He uses the same word, teacher or rabbi, to address Jesus that the two ambitious disciples had used. But in this case, it's the plea of one who has actually understood the lesson, even though he had probably never read the scroll of the scriptures. Bartimaeus may not have been able to see, but he had an expansive vision of a merciful Messiah who could open a new world for him. His spiritual smart glasses were working perfectly. Jesus' response to the blind man is an invitation: "Go, your faith has made you well." Bartimaeus responds to the command of Jesus not by going, but by coming along and following Jesus on the way. Mark says that he had immediately regained his sight at Jesus' word, but we might argue that he could see all along. The implication is that he became a disciple himself, and if so, he now saw the way clearly. He was given sight because of the faithful insight, and now he would see the glory of God in the face of the Son of David. When the original King David entered Jerusalem against the Jebusites as a conquering hero, the inhabitants taunted him, saying that the blind and the lame will turn you back, from 2 Samuel. David would take the city and thus have the blind and the lame removed before his entry. The son of David, in contrast to his ancestor, removed blindness instead of the blind as he goes up to the city. The story of Bartimaeus is a reminder that this Messiah has come to restore the sight of those who have been blinded by power, expectation, despair, or sin. Only those who are willing to put on the spiritual smart glasses of a humble and repentant disciple will see and understand how he conquers the city and the world, not through the power of might, but through the glory of the cross. Wearable smart glasses will be a great help for those who need them, but spiritual blindness requires a different sort of correction. Do you see Jesus as a means to an end, to enhancing your reputation, your status, and your own glory? Do you see him merely as a means to getting to heaven? If so, you need a different vision. It's the kind of vision that even a blind man can have, a vision of humility, faith, and the desire to follow the one whose throne is a cross. It's not the latest gadget that will save you from spiritual blindness. Only faith can make you well. It goes without saying that the life of obedient discipleship does not promise to be easy. Discipleship means not knowing where we are going, but finding joy and contentment in knowing that we go there with God. Mark thus closes his section on discipleship with a profoundly positive image. Those who truly seek Christ feel overwhelmingly called to follow his pathways and purposes. They become imitators of Christ as they seek to become perfected disciples. Bartimaeus' journey was not easy. He began to follow Jesus just when, from a human point of view, things began to deteriorate. Jesus now enters Jerusalem to play his part in the final scene of confrontation, prosecution, and execution. There would be little time for a new disciple like Bartimaeus to enjoy approving crowds or balmy days of rest and study. Bartimaeus and all the disciples were rapidly approaching the testing grounds for discipleship trust in Jesus' being and mission. Hear this story about discipleship. In John Reynolds' Anecdotes of the Reverend John Wesley, he tells the story of Wesley's student days at Lincoln College in Oxford. A porter knocked on Wesley's door one evening and asked to speak with him. After some conversation, Wesley noted the man's thin coat, for it was a cold winter night. Wesley suggested that he had better get another coat. The porter replied, "This coat is the only coat I have in the world, and I thank God for it." Wesley asked the man if he had eaten, and the porter replied, "I have had nothing today but a draught of spring water, and I thank God for that." Wesley, growing uneasy in the man's presence, reminded him that he would have to get to his quarters soon or be locked out. Then what shall you have to thank God for?" Wesley asked. "I will thank him," replied the porter, "that I have dry stones to lay upon." Wesley was deeply moved by the man's sincerity and said to him, "You thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, no bed to lie on. I cannot see what you have to thank God for." The man replied, "I thank God that he has given me life and being and a heart to love him and a desire to serve him." After the man had left with a coat from Wesley's closet, some money for food, and words of appreciation for the witness he had made, Wesley wrote in his journal, "I shall never forget that porter. He convinced me there is something in religion which I am a stranger." Are you a stranger to the strangeness of true discipleship? I will now close with a poem written by Reverend Michael Parker, who is a provisional elder in the United Methodist Church, and he pastors Bell's United Methodist Church and United Methodist Church of the Redeemer in Prince George County, Maryland. It's entitled, "Can You See Me?" The crowd shouted no. The crowd shouted no. The crowd shouted no. Don't shout at me because my ears are fine. I can hear what you can't see. But send me to Jesus. What I need only his hands can provide. I woke up one day and could see fine. I could see my money getting better. I could see my troubles calling out. I could see hope that says everything would be okay. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my sight to keep. I went blind before I could wake. So my prayer changed. I prayed to the Lord. Since I can't see you, let me just hear you more and more each day. Then one day, my day happened, and I was finally close enough to the one I had been hearing for a long time. To the world, everything about my current state of affairs said I was challenged, filthy, unworthy, from the wrong zip code, too dark, not enough education, talk with just a little too much S in my words. But the voice said, your current state of affairs is what draws me to you most. I wasn't perfect, never have been, but he took a chance on my perfection, making me more like him. The crowd shouted no again and again. No to adequate health care. No to just pay for women. No to my dreams becoming my realities. But just one yes from him opened my eyes. Not the ones in my head, but the ones in my spirit. And finally, I could see again. I could see sickness conceding to health. I could see trouble getting tired of troubling. I could see giving Peter back what was robbed of him just to pay old Paul. The eyes with which I saw were responsible for opening the eyes that I carry. My life has been changed, never to go back that way again. I can see, praise the Lord, I can see. No longer blind, no more blindness holding me. My eyes are open. Can you see me? May it be so. Amen. At this time, if the ushers will come forward for our tithes, gifts, and offerings. Extravagantly generous God, there is nothing we have, there is nothing we require, there is nothing we long for that does not pale when placed beside the relationship you've offered to us. As we bring our gifts to you, remind us of the covenant you put before Israel. If they will be my people, I will be their God. Receive our tithes, gifts, and offerings. We give in gratitude for your invitation and help us be your people, reflected in our love for you and for all your children. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ, who gave all there was to give for us. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 378, Amazing Grace. experienced you today, we are not the same as we were when we entered this place. So as we go, let us not forget. Bring reminders to our minds and hearts throughout our week of your calling on our lives. Let us see you in our homes, our work, our schools, and our play. May each of those places be different because we bring you into them with us. Thank you for always going before us. We look forward to following you into all that we do this week. Please help us to see. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. And just a reminder, there is fellowship after worship as well.
So